Again, please turn to Numbers chapter 20. This evening, I want to deal with the death of Aaron. We have, of course, looked at this passage of Scripture before, quite some time now. But in the course of these studies in the life and times of Moses, we have come to it again. And we want to look afresh at it this evening. And I pray that the Lord will bless His word to all of our hearts. There's a message here for God's people, but I believe there's also a message here for those in the service who are not saved. And I pray that the Lord will take His word and apply it indeed to all of our hearts. Look what we read there in verse 27. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. Amen. And we know again the Lord will bless His word to our hearts. Let's bow just in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for His help as we come to consider God's truth this evening. Father in heaven, we thank Thee again for Thy precious word. And O God, we're so conscious that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We pray for those in our congregation tonight who are not saved. They're not prepared for death. We thank Thee that Aaron was prepared for death, because when he died, he went home to be with the Lord. O God, we pray for those here tonight who are not prepared. And Lord, if they were to die right now, they would go out into a lost eternity. O God, I pray that even this night, that sinners would prepare to meet God. We know that the Bible exhorts us, prepare to meet thy God. We pray tonight, Lord, that there might be those who will be wise, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Lord, fill us now with thy gracious Holy Spirit. How, Lord, we need that fresh touch from heaven. We just pray, Lord, for a word in season. Come, O God, and anoint us afresh with thy gracious Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. In this portion of Scripture, we have, of course, the detailed account of the death of Aaron. Aaron, of course, was the first high priest in Israel, and he was the one along with Moses who led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Apart from a few times when Aaron failed the Lord, and he certainly did fail the Lord, Aaron will go down, I believe, in Bible history as one who was a faithful servant of God. He was God's spokesman when Moses went in before Pharaoh, and alongside his brother Moses, he helped to lead the children of Israel throughout the 40 years wandering in the wilderness until they arrived safely at the banks of the River Jordan. However, like Moses, Aaron was not permitted to enter into the promised land because of his failure at the waters of Meribah, where both he and Moses rebelled against the Lord in striking the rock twice. Instead of speaking to it, God forbid Aaron to enter into the land of promise. And we have that recorded here for us in this portion of Scripture. Therefore, in Numbers chapter 20, Aaron's work for God comes to an end upon this earth. His sojourn upon this scene of time comes to a conclusion. And God commands Moses to take Aaron up to the top of Mount Hor, where Aaron will be stripped of his priestly garments and be gathered unto his people. These words are set before us tonight. They're very interesting words. They're very instructive words. They're also very solemn words, because it's always a solemn truth when someone dies and leaves this scene of time. But I pray this evening, as we come to consider the death of Aaron, that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts. Because I believe, as I have said, that there's a word in season for each and every one of us here this evening. Certainly, there's a word, child of God, for you and I. The day will come when we will have to leave this scene of time and go home to glory. What a glorious day that will be. But that day will come. And I pray that from now until that day comes, that we will be serving the Lord with all our hearts and souls and minds. And of course, if you're not saved, the day of your death will come as well. And it's imperative that you tonight prepare for death and for eternity. Because as I mentioned there, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after death, the judgment. Now as we come to consider the death of Aaron, as these details are given to us here at the end of Numbers chapter 20, there's a number of things very simply that I want you to notice. First of all, and I'm sure that you've noticed this before, but I want you to consider the knowledge that Aaron had of his death. Aaron knew that he was going to die. You might say, well, sure, we all know we're going to die. But Aaron knew when he was going to die. Exactly when he was going to die. Take a look at verse 23 and 24. And the Lord spake unto Moses, and Aaron, underline that. The Lord's not only speaking to Moses here, but the Lord is also speaking to Aaron. So he's in on the conversation. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom. And this is what he said in verse 24. Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because he rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Aaron knew that he was going up to the top of Mount Hor to die. In verse 23 of this chapter, the Lord told both Moses and Aaron that Aaron's days upon this earth were coming to an end, and that the day of his death had come. And a woman, I find that most fascinating. I find that most interesting. In this chapter, God tells Aaron where he's going to die. He's going to die on the top of Mount Hor. Now, you and I know that we're going to die, but we don't know where we're going to die. We might die at home. We might die on the way home in a car accident. We don't know the precise moment when we will leave this scene of time, but Aaron did. Aaron did. Not only does God tell Aaron the place of his death, but he also tells him the exact time of his death. Aaron would die at the very moment his priestly garments were taken off him and placed upon Eleazar, his son. Look at verse 25. Take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, and bring them up onto Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, listen to it, and put them upon Eleazar, his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. Immediately the priestly garments are taken from Aaron and put upon Eleazar, his son, Aaron would die. So not only did he know the place of his death, but he knew the precise moment, the precise second, when he would breathe his last upon this earth. And here's the point that I want to make. Although Aaron knew all the details of his death, he did not resist the will of God in this matter. Indeed, he went up Mount Hor, unafraid to face the last enemy, because he knew that the Lord would be with him all the way. Isn't that a wonderful thought, a wonderful truth? Although he knew he was going, this was going to be his last journey upon this earth, he had the confidence of knowing that this last journey would end in the presence of God for all eternity. Because you see, Aaron was going up not only to the top of Mount Hor, but he was going up to heaven and he was going home. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You know, child of God, death does not bring fear to us. It shouldn't bring fear to us. Because when we think of death, we should think of home. When we think of our last breath upon this scene of time, we should think of heaven. Because the moment you and I die, wherever it will be, the moment you and I die, it will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. God has planned where and when we will die. God has planned it. But thank God, whenever that takes place, you and I have this wonderful knowledge of knowing that we're going to be with the Lord for all eternity. Remember what the psalmist said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. As the psalmist thought about the day of his death, he recognized that death for him held no fear. And here we have a perfect example of it here in Numbers chapter 20. Aaron, as he begins his journey to the top of Mount Hor, knows that he's not coming down the mountain again. He knows that he's going up the mountain to die. And yet he walked up that mountain in confidence, in full assurance of knowing that before that day was out, he was going to be in the presence of the King of Kings. Oh, child of God, is not a wonderful truth tonight that you and I, the moment we die, we're going to see our Savior face to face. I wonder, are there those here tonight and you're not saved? How would you face death? The truth is that you will face death completely different. There has to be a fear of death in your heart tonight if you're not saved. If you were to die right now, how would it be with your soul? Oh, the truth is that if you were to die right now, that your soul, instead of going into heaven, instead of going to be with the Lord, would be plunged down into hell itself. That's why you need to be saved this evening, and that's why you need to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what a different prospect the child of God has. The hymn writer had the right view of death when he penned those words. Listen to them. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall see. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King. Someday my earthly house will fall. I cannot tell how soon 'twill be. But this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me. Someday when fades the glowing sun beneath the rosy tinted west, my blessed Lord shall say, well done, and I shall enter into rest. Someday, till then I'll watch and wait, my lamp all trimmed and burning bright, that when my Saviour opes the gate, my soul to him may take its flight. And we say amen to the words of that lovely hymn. Is it any wonder that the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Child of God, we're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. Death is not defeat for us. Death is victory. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has gained the victory. And we found out how he gained the victory this morning, through once dying upon the cross for our sins. Oh, thank God. The Christian doesn't really die. Death for the child of God is only a step from earth to heaven. And that's what Aaron was experiencing here. And I want you to understand that. I want you to see that. But I want you to notice something else here. Take a look again at Numbers chapter 20. And I want you to notice that when Aaron died, he left all that was earthly behind him. That's very important to see that. The truth that I want to bring out under this point is not so much the fact that Aaron died, but rather the fact that when he did die, he brought nothing of this world with him. Verse 28 of this chapter says, listen to it, Moses stripped Aaron of his garments. Underline those words. These garments that Aaron had on were the high priestly garments. They signified his office among the children of Israel. Aaron, as we have said, was the high priest. He was appointed to this office by God himself. As the high priest, Aaron mediated between God and the people. But when Aaron came to die, he could not even bring his earthly possessions to heaven with him. He had to leave them behind.
These garments, he had to leave them behind. Child of God, and indeed, everyone in this service tonight, one of the facts about death is this: as we brought nothing into this world, it is certain that we will bring nothing out. Aaron was stripped of his priestly garments, and when the day of his death came, no matter what he possessed of worldly goods, they would be stripped from him. And you know, the truth is, they'll be stripped from us, whatever we own, whatever we have. We'll have to go out to meet God alone. Oh, this truth of Aaron being stripped of his priestly garments teaches us another fact about the reality of death. And it teaches us this: God will never bring a sinner into heaven on the basis of what they were down here on earth. Aaron never got into heaven because he was the high priest. Aaron never got into heaven because he held a great position within the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. No, Aaron got into heaven on the same basis as any sinner gets into heaven, on the basis of the blood of the Lamb and the grace of God. My friend, if you're ever going to get into heaven, you're going to get into heaven not because of what you have or what you own or what you possess or the position that you've had on this earth. Oh no, if you're going to get into heaven, then you must get into heaven on the basis of the shed blood of the Lamb. You must be saved by the grace of God. You see, Aaron got into heaven because he was saved by the grace of God. The hymn writer again penned it well when he wrote those words: "Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demand. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless come to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyelids close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Oh dear friend, tonight are you trusting alone in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour? I'm going to heaven, and I'll get into heaven not because I was a minister of the gospel, not because I was a preacher of the word of God. My friend, I get into heaven because there was a day in my life when I was saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb. You'll not get into heaven because you sung in the choir. You'll not get into heaven because you were an elder in the church, or a committee man in the church, or a Sunday school teacher in the church. You'll not get into heaven because you held some earthly office. The moment you die, all those things will be stripped away. That's why it's imperative that you and I are saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Notice something else here. Take a look at Numbers chapter 20 again. Notice the separation that death brings. Look what we read there in verse 28. "And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mount." Read it, look at it carefully. "And Moses and Eleazar came down." Aaron didn't come down. Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. Moses and Eleazar came down from Mount Hor without Aaron. Moses was separated from his brother because the death angel had come. You see, the truth is that death separates wives from husbands. It separates children from parents. It separates parents from children. And I have no doubt that as Moses walked down that mountain without Aaron, his heart was sad. He remembered all the battles they had fought together. He remembered the blessing of God upon their lives and their joint ventures together. But
He also remembered the reason why this separation came about. It was because of Aaron's rebellion at the waters of Meribah. And Moses would have remembered also that that incident was as much his fault as Aaron's. And although God judged both of them, Aaron was the first to be taken. But there was a separation here. Child of God, there's a great lesson here for you and me. Our failures and our sins have serious consequences. We pointed that out this morning. Never think that your willful sinning goes unnoticed. Because of the sin of Moses and Aaron, God forbid them entrance into the promised land. We've already pointed out the verses, but let me emphasize them again. That's why it's so important as we live upon this life, in this earth, that we live our lives for the Lord and serve the Lord with all our hearts and all our souls and all our minds. Oh dear child of God, you and I have only one life. It'll soon be passed, and only what's done for Jesus will last. However, although Moses went down from Mount Hor sad because he was separated from his brother Aaron, he knew that soon he would see Aaron again. Because a short time after the death of Aaron, Moses died also. And we're going to be coming to that incident in Deuteronomy 34 over these next number of weeks. But the wonderful truth was this, that Moses met up with Aaron again. What a great uniting it's going to be when God's people get home to heaven. What a great, great gathering of the saints that's going to be. Loved ones that we haven't seen for years, we're going to meet them again in the sweet by and by. It's not a wonderful thought. I wonder, in the meeting tonight, if you were to die, you'd be separated from your loved ones here on earth, but would you be separated from them for all eternity? Maybe your mom and dad, they're going to heaven, but you're not saved. And if you were to die, you go to hell. You'd be separated from them for all eternity. Maybe there are parents here tonight and you're not saved. And if you were to die, you'd be separated from your children because they love the Lord and are saved. Well, that's why it's so important to come to Christ and have the family united in Christ. We often pray for families to be united in Christ, saved by the grace of God. Oh, I pray that all of the families in this church in Bethel will be united in Christ, that we'll have household salvation. That's what we pray for, and that's what we long for, so that when the family dies, and although separated on earth for a time, that they'll all be gathered safely home to glory. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and you're the only one in your family that's not saved. My friend, would you not come to Christ this evening and put your faith and trust in the Lord? Then you would have household salvation. And then you would have the assurance of knowing that you would never be separated in the great eternity. Oh, how sad it's going to be in eternity when you will be thrust out into the lost eternity and the rest of the family safely home in heaven. Come to Christ tonight. Trust Him as your own and personal Savior. Trust Him now, and the Lord will do a new thing in your heart and your life, and He will prepare you for heaven. But notice something else here. Something else I want you to notice at the end of Numbers chapter 20. Notice that God never leaves Himself without a witness. I'm sure, child of God, you did notice that. Although Aaron died, there was someone to carry on the work of God. Look what it says in verse 25. Take Aaron and Eleazar, underline Eleazar, his son, and bring them up onto Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar, his son. The truth is, Eleazar was going to take over from Aaron when Aaron died. He was going to be the next high priest in Israel. He was going to do the job that Aaron had been doing now for many years. Oh, child of God, isn't it wonderful that God never leaves Himself without a witness?
God's workers must die, but God's work goes on. And that's why we should be encouraged in the work of God. God will not leave himself without a witness. And if you and I were not here in Bethel serving the Lord in the work of God, then the Lord would raise up others to do that work. It's not wonderful. And of course, this can be seen also in the life of Moses. And we're going to emphasize this in a few weeks' time. When Moses died, his work came to an end. But God raised up Joshua. And what a great work Joshua did after Moses died. Because he led the children of Israel across the Jordan into the promised land. God used Joshua mightily. Oh, thank God. We often perhaps worry about God's work. We shouldn't worry. Because it's God's work. It's not what we said this morning. Well, let me say it again tonight. The work belongs to God. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And although Aaron served the Lord faithfully for many, many years, and although he comes to die, the Lord has someone here, his son Eliezer, to take his place. And you'll notice that he took his place immediately. Immediately. And what a faithful servant of God Eliezer was. And you ought to study his life, and it will bless your soul. Oh, isn't it wonderful to know that God's work will continue. Even when we are not here, the Lord will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, my friend, I wonder, as we come to the close of this gospel meeting tonight, how is it with your soul this evening? It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. There is an after this. And while many do not believe that there is life beyond the grave, the truth is that there is life beyond the grave. But everyone is not going to heaven. Irrespective of what the modernistic preacher says, everyone is not going to get into heaven. The truth is that only those who are born again of the Spirit of God will get into heaven when they die. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Are you born again tonight? Are you trusting alone in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? Oh, my friend, tonight you need to be saved. You need to come and prepare for death. For how do you know? But you might experience your Mount Hor before this day is over, before this week is over. God might have your death planned. He might have my death planned. Even before this month is out. Maybe before this year is out. That's why it is so important for you and I to be ready. Thank God, with all the faults that Aaron had, he was prepared to walk up Mount Hor. He was ready. He knew his God in a personal way. Do you know God in a personal way? Well, you can only know him in a personal way through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's only one way to God. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Would you come to the Savior this evening? Would you trust him? Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Let us all pray.